This RFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari. Star
Safari. Welcome to Why Space.
We are going to talk about space again because space is so amazing and a lot of stuff is happening in the sky this week. For example, we can see a lot of galaxies. We can observe a few planets around. It's very, very exciting.
We had a look at Mercury the other night in the telescope. That was pretty cool. And it was pretty well placed because at the moment, when you look at in the western sky, you see Venus up really high. And just kind of below it, you'll see Mercury. And Mercury is quite distinctive to look at. Sort of a bit of an orange-looking object just underneath Venus. So it's pretty cool. So it's pretty cool to see both of those. Now, when you look at both of those, you don't see much, of course, because you can't make out any detail in the telescope. And they're not. Well, they're not that well placed for the best seeing bit of the sky. They're pretty low. So unless you have absolutely perfect conditions, they don't never really look that great. But still, they're great. They're two planets and you can see them.
And you can see Mercury in the evening sky, which is pretty cool.
That's quite handy. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can also in the evening sky, and especially these 2 weeks when the moon is not gone, is gone anymore, so you can't really see it. So it doesn't make as much light as it did 2 weeks ago when it was full. So you can see all of these things. The other object that you can see in the evening is Venus, which is just beautiful. It's so bright and you can't miss it. It's not a UFO. It's nothing like it. It's just planet Venus shining beautifully and going as away from the sun. So it will be what we call a greatest elongation very, very soon. And so Venus is really high.
Yeah, so you see it really, really high up in the sky, yeah. Which is actually a nice time to look at it because it's
So if you stretch your arm, so if you stretch your arm and then you stretch your pinky and your thumb as far as you can, that's about 22 degrees at arm's length. Venus is about 30 degrees high in the sky. So it's kind of like your...
One and a half of them.
Yeah, one and a half of them. So that's a lot. That's very, very high. And then we have Jupiter. So if you kind of like hang around a little bit and look at the sky, Jupiter is in the sky around 10 o'clock, kind of like that. And if you stay a little bit longer, Jupiter will be visible all night long.
Yeah, into the best bit of the sky where it gets a bit higher.
And Jupiter is the second brightest planet in the sky. So Venus and Jupiter are just amazing. And
if you start really late, you'll see Mars pretty close to the Beehive Cluster, which is pretty amazing. It's a lovely cluster, but you've got to start late for that one.
About 4 o'clock in the morning, so you have to wake up like really, really
late. Yeah. So either stay up late or get up really early. You want to see Mars.
And of course, the most beautiful planet of all the planets in the universe, Saturn, is also there in the sky. So it's in the northwestern side of the sky, kind of.
Yeah, it's starting to get a bit lower in the evening now. It says it descends back down towards the horizon. And so we will only have a couple more months of having a really good views of Saturn. Probably the best viewing is going to be over the next month, actually. So by the new year, Saturn will be getting lower and lower in that western part of the sky. And then in February, it'll be getting a little bit too close to the sun by the end of February, getting way too close to the sun to even observe. Now, on March 23rd, the rings line up, which is about perfectly with us, and so they'll just almost completely disappear. But unfortunately, we won't be able to see that because the sun will be in the way.
So
great if you've got a space-based telescope that's nowhere near the Earth.
Which would be quite cool, which is why it's a good idea to put a space-based telescope on the moon or even on Mars.
Probably Mars for that one.
Yeah, Mars would be like really amazing to have a telescope on. Also, not only because you can see all this awesome stuff, but you can perhaps see anything that would come towards us towards the Earth faster and better. So Mars would be an extraordinary great outpost for planetary defense, which is a real job. And it's literally looking at stuff that can come towards here on us and what can we do to prevent what happened to the dinosaurs.
Yeah, don't want to be surprised by an asteroid smacking into us. There's been some really interesting things happening in, over the last week in the technology and space launch. So SpaceX launched their sixth Super Heavy and Starship booster last week. And as you would have seen, there's been quite a bit of wash up on it. It didn't catch it like it did on the previous test. So the previous test, the Super Heavy component of the rocket, which is the first stage of the rocket, enormous rocket, loads of Raptor engines, lots of engines and stuff. Anyway, its plan is sort of launch up into the sky as the first stage, get rid of Starship, that goes off and does its thing, and then the Super Heavy comes back down and lands right next, well, gets caught by the tower and happily sits there. Then they refuel it, stick another Starship on and launch. So it has a quick, ideally when it's finished, we'll have this quick turnaround. Well, anyway, on the sixth test, it came down towards the tower, then they aborted it and then boosted it again and crashed it into the sea. So obviously still a bit of work to go there to recover these first stages of these enormous rockets.
So why are these rockets important? Why is it everybody is like excited about them?
Well, because at the moment, if you want to launch something, it costs quite a bit. Well, it costs a lot of money. It's cheaper than it used to be. So, in the days of the space shuttle, a kilogram, I think, was about $30,000 to put a kilogram into space. It was a lot of money. And so, the space shuttle, amazing piece of equipment it wasn't cheap. Not a lot of it was reusable. I mean, obviously, the space shuttle was reusable, but by reusable, it means you go up to space, you come back down, you have to do a lot of work to get that thing reused. So refurbishing the engines, all that sort of stuff. So a lot of work to turn a space shuttle around. Plus the solid rocket boosters, they ended up in the ocean. They had to pull those out, refurbish them. They lost the tank, the big giant tank that sat in the middle, that wasn't reusable. So there's a lot of work. So, obviously the space shuttle program was cancelled in the end, but it was very expensive. So at $30,000 a kilogram, that's a lot of money. And then the real, I guess, change happened when SpaceX started operating the Falcon 9. So the Falcon 9, it's got nine Raptor engines. That whole thing is about launching into space and capturing as much of the rocket as you can so you can turn it around and reuse it. So they reuse that first stage. It flies back down, lands vertical, and they can refurbish that. Fix it all up and then stick more stuff on it and off it goes. And one of the versions of that is the Falcon Heavy, which is basically three Falcon 9s stuck together and off they go. And they
So
can,
it's 27,
27 engines. So they can recover those.
27 engines.
Now that dropped, I think, I can't remember the exact figures, but it dropped it around about $3,000, $2,000 per kilogram. So huge drop in the cost of launching stuff into space. So if you want to launch a lot of stuff into space, it's now getting more and more affordable. Now, Super Heavy and Starship, they are the two stages of the next rocket they're building. And SpaceX got some contracts to one contract is to have the moon lander, so the thing that lands on the moon, and that they're going to use Starship for that. So the Starship is a big thing. It's got a bunch of engines on it. It's pretty huge. And the booster for it, this first stage to get it into space, is the Super Heavy booster. And this is an enormous rocket. So this rocket, what they've been trying to do is launch it, get the first stage back and capture it by the tower with these two kind of chopstick arms that come out and grab the thing as it's flying back down. It's pretty cool. So the fifth test that worked, they caught it. It did have some very unusual angles on it. You think, well, couldn't have twisted a bit more, it might have blown up, but it didn't. It worked. So congratulations, they did an awesome job. The sixth test, yeah, not so good. So it didn't. It was an auto failure, so it automatically picked up that things weren't going just right. So they boosted the booster away and crashed it in the sea. Best to crash it in the sea than to crash it onto your landing pad and destroy all that stuff that you build. So they did the right thing there.
Yeah, just let's destroy the fish.
Yeah. Now, of course, if you can recover this, multi-million dollar booster. and refurbish it, fill it up with fuel again, off you go. The estimate is that it'll drop the price of launching per kilo down to another magnitude, down to about $200 to $300 a kilo. Now that's huge. When you get to the point of launching stuff for $200 to $300 a kilo, that's
Yeah.
enormously different
This is like
magnitude.
taking the airplane and
Yeah.
getting to Europe.
So you can put stuff into space a whole lot cheaper, which is amazing. So, one of the plans, of course, is to launch a lot of stuff. So pile it up, fill it with satellites, launch all those. They go into satellites, they go into space, and then you're filling the low Earth orbit up even more. Or you have other options. You can build big things in space because you can launch big things, build factories, build whatever our imagination takes us. So pretty amazing, really. And if you look at it, so it's a little bit different, say, than what Rocket Lab does. Rocket Lab has a smaller rocket, launches a smaller payload, 300 and something kilos. And that launches up and puts it in the exact orbit you want. If you want to launch your satellite with SpaceX, they have this ride sharing agreement thing where you put your satellite on with SpaceX, it'll launch into space, and then it distributes the satellites into the orbits that are close, but not necessarily the exact ones that you want it to. Your satellite might not exactly get to the orbit you want, or you might have to fly your satellite to the orbit you want. So that means you need to bolt on more fuel and stick some maybe have a bit more rocket power on it, or you suffer from the payload. You can't make your satellite as big as you wanted. So that can be a problem. Now, the reusability thing is really important, and that's what's really dropped the price. So if you can reuse Starship, that whole thing's reusable, and the Super Heavy booster, the whole thing's reusable, and all you got to do is land it, do some panel beating if you need to, and refuel it with fuel, and off it goes.
So, while you were talking, I was just doing some calculations to have an idea of how much would it cost, for example, to fly versus the rocket. And so I was just Googling and I found the price of a ticket for a trip to Paris, for example, is about $3,000 if you fly at peak time. $3,000 divided by 70 kilograms, it's about $44 per kilogram to send from New Zealand, from Auckland to Paris.
Which is pretty amazing because the eventual cost of Starship works, and they build the variants of the rockets they say they're going to build, and it all works perfectly and everything goes swimmingly well. The estimate is that the price to launch a kilogram could be as low as $20 a kilo. $20 a kilo,
So that
which
would
is
be cheaper than flying to Paris on an airplane. We're actually on many, many airplanes. So.
Now you got to put it in context. The cargo that would go on Starship at the moment. You don't have to keep it alive,
Yeah.
so you don't need all of the life support stuff. And of
Well.
course, that would boost the cost up. So, but the point is, it's getting to the same magnitude of cost as air freight, which is incredible, absolutely incredible. So, they're going to do more tests. Hopefully, they're more successful. They do have some deadlines. They've got to get Starship ready to actually be able to land on the moon. In time to work with the Artemis program. But of course, the US has a new administration taking the reins early next year. So there'll no doubt be a new NASA administrator. There may well be a different sort of focus on space travel. So,
Maybe instead of the moon, we ended up going to Mars.
well, yeah. So who knows what's going to happen there? But NASA will have a different person running it, and obviously different set of objectives coming from their new government. So we'll see how that goes. Now, of course, SpaceX, they are trucking full on with their stated aim of getting stuff to Mars. So they probably aren't going to
Yeah.
change what they're doing.
Watch this space.
Yeah, they'll probably just pick up a few more extra contracts now that Elon Musk is advising Trump. But anyway, we'll see how that plays out. The other amazing thing, which has just happened in New Zealand, of course, is Dawn Aerospace broke the sound barrier. They've flown the rocket plane, the New Zealand-built rocket plane, at Mach 1.1, so 1.1 times the speed of sound, and they reached 80,000 feet. So that's a huge milestone for them. 80,000 feet is a long way off the edge of space, but if you can get to 80,000 feet and you can, and your rocket plane can survive breaking the sound barrier and the extra pressure that creates, then getting up to space is not a huge leap beyond that. And it's certainly proven their design, it's proven their engineering, and proven that they're on the right track to be able to do this. Now, their concept is, of course, you build a rocket plane, you put a satellite in it, you launch it to space, you fly your rocket plane back down, land on a runway, not at a launch pad, and you stick another telescope, well, you could put a telescope in it, you stick another satellite in it, and launch up you go again, and you just keep doing that. Quick turnaround, launching lots and lots of satellites. And it's amazing. So Dawn Aerospace, this is a pretty unique capability.
So did you say 88?
80,000 feet.
80,000 feet. So as a comparison, there is a airplane that had a telescope in it called Sophia that flew from New Zealand. It was an amazing project. Now it's in a museum, which is like really, really sad. And Sophia, its normal flying altitude would be about 45, around 45,000 feet.
Yeah.
So that's not much. And I had the enormous luck to actually fly on one of those flights. And I do remember from that night that we went all the way to, I think it was above 55,000 feet. And everybody was like, oh, this is pretty amazing. And we were above the Arctic Circle. So this was an extraordinary airplane that would fly onto the stratosphere, which is above most of the water vapors to basically take pictures of stuff. And that's about, I don't know, 14 kilometers, 15 kilometers.
Yeah, it's about that. It's about 15K.
So
So
double
Dawn
that.
going up as high as they've done, it's a staggeringly
It is an
high.
extraordinary achievement, yeah.
So yeah, this is huge. They did it from what's the name? Glen Aukey, isn't it? Glen Aukey, the or Glen Tanner, I can't remember the name. One of those, Glen something. not far from Mount Cook. So there's a little airfield there that they fly operate their rocket plane from. It's pretty amazing though. So
Yeah.
the next step, of course, they'll obviously keep pushing the envelope. They'll keep pushing this thing faster and higher. And it won't be long before we see them actually lobbing something into space, which is just going to be incredible. And this is the first time a New Zealand built thing has gone faster than the sound barrier, which is
Really?
pretty amazing.
That's very
And
cool.
not many countries have built stuff that it can go faster than the speed of sound. Lots of countries have bought stuff off other people that can go faster than the speed of sound. Like the Skyhawk, the jet that the Air Force used to operate years ago, that could go faster than the speed of sound. But of course, that was built by the Americans. But this thing, built here in New Zealand, off it goes. Pretty amazing. So, with this technology moving pretty quick, Starship and Super Heavy, that's moving real fast. The cost of space flights dropping rapidly, and there's more and more options. Now, of course, you can pay your way to go to space. There's, this year we've had a non-government, so a private funded space walk. And sure, I don't know if it's space walk. It's not like you hop out of a spaceship and walk around. So space walk's not really a.
Basically, they came out of the thing,
Yeah, they poked sort of
looked
half out the
around, poked
hole.
their head out, and then went back. But that's considered a spacewalk.
Because the thing is, a space walk is if you're depressurized to the vacuum of space. That's the thing. So they depressurized the capsule, poked the head. Well, half of them out, had a look around, and so proved that it could be
Went
done.
wow, and then
Yeah.
went back.
So what that means is, of course, they built space suits. They built space suits. The first sort of redesign of a space suit in a long time, a space suit that could be actually worn in space, which is pretty amazing. And they look pretty good too. They're not these big bulky things that the other astronauts have to use. But then all their systems are on board. Pretty amazing. So a lot of stuff's happened this year. We've had their Starship tests. There'll be more of those, obviously, in the coming months. They'll have to figure out what went wrong that they couldn't capture the Super Heavy. We'll see some amazing stuff from Dawn, and of course, Rocket Lab are building their Neutron rocket. So that's their heavier version of the rocket, which will have a, I think, a similar payload to the Falcon 9, that kind of class of rocket. And so that's a big game changer. They've picked up some big contracts. So that's helped their cash flow, and people probably have seen in the news their share price has gone up a lot. That means obviously shareholders and people interested in Rocket Lab are confident that Rocket Lab's going to make plenty of money into the future, hence they're investing money into Rocket Lab. So some pretty amazing things happening for the New Zealand components of the space industry. which is massive. Great for kids wanting to look for careers in space because, this is going pretty well.
So today we went to a school, and one of the kids there, she said to me, she said, if I go to space, I will totally bling my spacesuit. And she said, I said, trust me, if you go to Mars and if you're gonna be on Mars, I don't think you're really gonna care about how your hair is gonna look like. And she was like, oh, I won't be able to do my hair in space. And says, I may not go to Mars, but she said, if I do go to Mars, I'm gonna be like looking really cool, which is like that's such a funny conversation and interesting and stuff. And she said, I'm gonna bling my spacesuit and it's gonna be the best suit ever. And the other really interesting thing that happened this year is that the very famous Italian fashion brand Prada is now designing the spacesuits for the Artemis mission. So, there is a career there, people, in space fashion.
Well, next year, Artemis, of course, are going to be launching astronauts to head around the moon.
That would be,
Think it's next year, end of next year.
so
Or
amazing to
maybe they moved
see.
it to the start of
Yeah.
2026, but it's about a year and a bit away, which will be pretty amazing. So, four astronauts are going to hop in their spaceship and off they go to the moon. They'll go around the moon and come back. And that's to test the orbit and equipment and everything. So pretty amazing. So a
So
lot of
yeah,
stuff happening in the
look
next
forward
year. 2025 is
to
going to be
everything
amazing.
that is going to happen next year. It's going to be amazing.
One of the kids at the school said to me they didn't want to be an astronaut, but they want to go to space. So there's a market there. They'll earn a bit of money in the future and they might want to invest in that on a ride to space. So
Yeah, and I think like the thing like all of this, I want to be an astronaut. I don't want to be. I don't think I wanted to be an astronaut either when I was a kid. I wanted to be an astronomer, and I think what I wanted to be was to go and work on a place like the moon, because being an astronaut in the future will be almost like getting your driving license. It will be a bit of more extensive exam for getting this astronaut license, but it would be a thing that will get you to your next working place. Like if you'd work on the moon, or if you'd work on I don't know, Mars. Maybe Mars would be a bit of extreme. You would have to learn how to be an astronaut. But astronaut, the job as an astronaut, you wouldn't just go to space and float in space. Astronauts on the International Space Station, they do stuff. They measure things. They're basically lab technicians.
well, they have to look after the space station too. They've got to rebuild stuff, fix it,
Yeah.
repair it.
And so on Mars or on the moon, let's say the moon, you'll have to build houses. You'll have an as I will always say, and we always say this to the kids, like someone will have to bake cake on the moon, and someone will have to grow plants, and someone will have to make food, and so on. So these are the jobs of the future, and just being an astronaut would be just like driving a car. It's a fancy
Yeah.
car, but
Very fancy car.
very fancy one.
All right, well, that's us for another week.
Why space? Because it's pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. A lot going on. See you
So,
later.
bye-bye.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari. Star Safari.